Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America. You can follow us online at thisweekinamerica.us. Worldly and Past Life Visions, Atlantis, Lemuria, Ancient Technology, Spiritual Sciences. It's the critically acclaimed Legacy episode series by Robert Maxim, back on today's program. Five episodes called A Must Read for Every Truth Seeker. The author's real visions of previous lifetimes in Atlantis, Lemuria, and other worlds where these lives took place. The series, 30 Years in the Making, features advanced scientific and spiritual concepts with evidence. For Robert, these experiences began as a child with sleep time visits to other worlds. They continue in both wake and sleep states. He spent 40 years studying science, religion, and the science of life, works in the field of information technology. Author of the Legacy episode series, a popular guest on This Week in America, Robert Maxim, with us on the program once again. Robert, welcome back. It is always a pleasure to you here about as often as I am. It's a pleasure to have you with us on the program.
Thank you. Pleasure also.
We are on today. We're going to jump right into it today. We're going to do a little longer program, and we're going through once again your questions, and Robert's going to answer those. We'll tell you throughout the program how you can get your questions to us. And every time we do that, the floodgates open and we get further behind in the questions. So we're going to try to get some today. Interesting one to start off the day. In a Bible study recently, I asked about reincarnation. The pastor said there is no such thing and used Hebrews 9:27 for proof. Just as man is destined to die once and after that face judgment. So it sounds like he was sort of open to the idea, but his pastor shut the door, slammed the door shut.
Yeah, and that's what they're paid to do, with all due respect. That's what they do. That's what he gets paid to uphold, and otherwise he's going to be labeled a heretic and fired, just like anyone else would if they stepped out of ethical boundaries at their job. Believe me when I say that I respect and also pity anyone in that position. I couldn't earn a living that way by restricting evidence. Reason I'm not into politics.
Yeah, you can't be honest. Don't even think about that.
But, you know, as I mentioned in previous shows, did this individual by chance mention that the book of Hebrews was apocryphal, which means unknown writer or illegit, until the 1500s? That's when the King James editors made up the fact that Paul wrote that book. However, hundreds of years before, Eusebius, well, even Martin Luther clearly said that Paul had not written this book. So who wrote this illegitimate book, and why are we quoting from it?
It's interesting.
Definitely adverse to everything else, biblically, for the most part, if you really dig into it. Now, did this individual also explain that Emperor Julian, the Byzantine Empire, that's when the Holy Roman Church was up, he ordered, and I don't mean to distrust anyone or upset anyone, but he ordered the mass murder of millions, if not billions, of people over time to silence both reincarnation and Shabbat throughout the world. Remember what happened to the Waldensians? What about the Crusades? What do you think the Inquisition was all about? This was all born from Julian's mandates. You can read about it, and it's a situation that, well, let's place ourselves in today's world. We detest the killings and the destruction of artifacts that ISIS is carrying out in the Middle East. We think that is the end of the world. But you know what? Christianity has done worse things until very recent times in the name of God, trying to eradicate original writings, reincarnation, and Shabbat, because those two go together. And apparently, the hunt, as you can see, continues.
Yes.
Did this individual not mention that the word palingenesia, that's a reserved Greek word for reincarnation, was actually used by Jesus. Go to Matthew 19:28 and read the word regeneration. That is the word palingenesia, which means reincarnation. And also look at Titus 3, verse 5. Same thing there. Did he not say that the Hebrew letters Tav and Gimel imply reincarnation? And how many thousands of times are they used throughout the Old Testament? So people, please, get the original facts yourselves. And beware of agents of, hate to say, big religion. Don't go to lips, but go to the source.
Robert Maxim, our guest in the program. You can get a hold of Robert. His website, rgaetan, GAETAN.com. You can contact us through our website, thisweekinamerica.us, with questions, and I'm sure that we will have some follow-up on that. I guess, and we've done this before in a couple of Bible quotes, if they take an isolated verse from the Bible, just that verse, if it's taken out of context, you should be aware of it, correct?
Yeah, you know, I could even take the Bill of Rights and I could use it to say anything I want, any section of it. And say, see, it says that right there. What about what surrounds it? What about the chapter? What about the paragraph?
Interesting. Interesting. I love those questions because it sounded like someone, they brought up reincarnation, I'm assuming because they wanted some information, possibly heard the program where you've talked about it, with an open mind, and then that was shut very dramatically by one verse from the Bible, Hebrews 9:27. Another question here. This is interesting as well. I really do not believe in past lives. From what I've seen, these people who feel they have lived past lives are simply victims of the power of suggestion. They want to believe. Often the hypnotist will lead them to a conclusion based on his slanted questions. Interesting, yes. And I guess I can see where that would happen if you're a believer and you feel that you've regressed and you have an handle on your lives. It may be because you want to believe that. I'll let you answer the question.
I fully concur. Yes. Some that believe are misled by supposed experts and scams, and that's the problem. No wonder there's so much doubt in the world. So I fully understand the listener's position. After all this abuse, who wouldn't be? No one should tell you who you've been. But, you know, fools will rush in. They want to know at all and any cost. That's not good. First, we must analyze and know ourselves. Then, if we have a need to know, then and only then will past lives come to your mind. Not before. The fact remains, you have indisputably lived before. The nature of energy, atoms, and your own mental constructs are proof enough. Let me explain it this way. I take a little bit of time and give the scientific and theological explanation. There's really no difference between spirit and the forces that make up atoms and space. It's all energy, which is God's essence. Now, if we agree thus far, then let me ask a couple of questions. Where is and where has your spirit been? If it's in the body, was it originally spread across the entire cosmos in the atoms that eventually joined together to make that body? Is that where it came from? Else, how did spirit get into the body and where from? Was it made on the fly or did it pre-exist? We can see that atom conglomerates are not the soul, but rather, shall we say, something the soul assumes, much as we don clothing. So, if you're not here, where the atoms are, then where is there, and how did you come to stay here from there? And how do you go back? What and where are you then? You know, we have to understand what spirit is and how it applies to God's image and Trinity. and prove these concepts before passing judgment or throwing the baby out with the bathwater.
Yes.
Now, did you know the body's mass to space ratio is a shocking billionth of a percent? And just to give you an idea of how solid you are, if your body was a cube that measured 22 feet in each direction, up, across, and deep,
okay,
that's about three times the size of this room that I'm in. The part of you that's solid in all of that space would be a grain of sand. There's so much space between atoms that if you looked out from an atom, nearby atoms would look like little star pinpoints. Spirit is an energy intelligence overlay. It's a conglomerate of energy strings that overshadow atoms, much like if you've seen the movie Avatar, where this guy's mind inhabits another body.
Oh, yes.
Kind of the same thing. If it's not from here, if the soul is not from here, it cannot stay here. So it comes to and from and cycles for development reasons, because energy cannot be destroyed. Neither can experience that is gathered here. You can't take it with you. So experiences must be lived and corrected here where they were incurred. The concept is more complex than this, but that's the basic science behind it. And if we actually look at the words of Jesus, he explained it thoroughly, because you have a need to know this. This is critical science and theology. This is not New Age or scam stuff. Without this knowledge, no wonder people, you know, they want to believe, but others discredit. Now, think of what I just said deeply and carefully. Listen back to the entire scientific aspect of it and the questions of here and there. Chew on that. One of these days, I promise to come back and do a special program on the proof. And I would put together the entire mechanism, the entire science behind where atoms come from, how they are motivated, how conception works, how they revive, how DNA works, how the mind works, the capacity of the brain, the capacity of genes, their true function, the fact that there's not enough mental space for the expression that we bring to life, the fact that the soul is basically an assuming entity, and this body is really like a submarine. So we are beneath the spirit level of water. We're living down here in the space. But I'll spare the details until a further time when I will present the proof.
Well, as I keep saying, your background is science. You entered this years ago in a skeptical fashion. You needed,
oh, yes,
being a science to have it proven to you. A lot of evidence you'll find at Robert's website, which is rgaetan, GAETAN.com. Another good website to get information is unariansunited.com. Questions for the program, you can contact Robert through his website or our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Next question, my priest says that reincarnation is a lie of Satan.
Oh,
is it possible it is a tool of Satan?
Oh, my God. How? Unbelievable. Dear soul, it's not Satan or his tool. Instead, it's a tool of your priest. Let's look at it this way. And with all due respect to this individual, this priest I've never met, my respects. However, let's look at this objectively. Your priest is accusing without evidence or references. That's the first dead giveaway. Let's put him on the spot here, okay? So where is it written that reincarnation is a lie of Satan or a tool of Satan? Where is it even implied? You know, every reference to live once that I've ever come across, live once means you're born, you die, you don't, that's it.
Right.
You know, it was either a mistranslation or it was picked out of context between segments explaining why final death was not optional but desired. Let's not forget what the meaning of died and gathered to his people is. I think this is important. I've never really mentioned this here, but if you look at the Old Testament, it says so-and-so died and they were gathered to his people. Well, that people reference ties back to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 19. And it's a very long verse, but what it comes down to is it mentions people, the word people, which is on heavenly nations. Hey, I'm not kidding. I didn't make this up. It says that literally, okay? People on heavenly nations. Now, if you died and gathered to his people that are heavenly nations, what is that telling you? Think. Yes, literally, reborn on another world. Now, see, this is what I'm talking about. These are dead on literal references.
It would be interesting to bring that up when someone is talking to their pastor, their priest, or someone who's a skeptic and says, no, there is no such thing in reincarnation, and get their response. What would their response be? Would they come back with anything valid, or would it be a continuation of double talk?
Double talk. And what I've heard is, well, this is the version of the Bible that I read, and that's good enough for me. Well, tell you what, I can go to that version, which for the most part is now NIV, the New International Version, and it's about 6-7 layers of translation over the original. If you pull up the original, better yet, take that NIV to a synagogue and read from it. I don't want to see the spectacle.
Well, that could get ugly. I had a flash in my mind as you were saying that. How many different translations of the Bible over time do you think there have been?
Hundreds, if not thousands. I actually have a translating program just to keep me sane, and there's more references that you can throw a stone at. It's horrific. And you know what? That's what I always go back to. You want to challenge the Old Testament, go to the people that wrote it, go to the people that speak the language, and try your luck there. Okay? Don't try it out on people that don't know the language, and you can throw your weight around and lie to them. Go to a synagogue and pick on somebody your own size, or maybe somebody bigger than you. Now, see, isn't Satan the master accuser? And doesn't God forbid accusing? Again, with deepest respects, Rick, if the priest accuses, then what is he? If Satan is an accuser and he accuses, what does it make him? You know, look, here, I hear this. The bus doesn't go my way, so the driver is Satan.
Yeah.
The food is too hot. It's too spicy, so the cook is Satan.
The work of Satan.
Yes, the car didn't start. It's Satan. A hurricane wrecked Miami. That had to be Satan's. Satan does everything. God does nothing. People, don't you realize that in a way, subconsciously, you are praising Satan? Get off that nonsense. Please study and objectify. Don't let anyone, especially me, sway or hypnotize you with fears and unfounded accusations. I hate to say this, and it sounds very negative, but billions died under the Christian knife. But you know, they said it was justified because they were Satan. Has that changed? People are still being manipulated in droves with fears and lies to keep them hostage under repressive lips of, yes, big religion. It teaches nothing but the opposite of Christ's teachings. And there are many people that ask me, you know, are you Christian? Well, you know what? Christ, in Matthew 28, 19, and 20, he said, go forth and teach my commandments. And his commandments were two commandments. Love yourself as others and love your God with all your might. Do and say as Jesus did, not what others interpret and tell you to do.
Robert Maxim, our guest on the program. We're talking about the Legacy series. We're not specifically, well, a lot of these principles you'll read in the Legacy series, which is available at Amazon. Of course, you'll find information at Robert's website, and he continues to work on the series. And one of these days, we're just going to focus on the series and talk about that, because it's incredible that these are his recollections, his memories of past lives. It's a fascinating series. It's a great read. And then on top of that, it's like, well, this is actually sort of autobiographical. It's an excellent series, and you'll find that information at Amazon and at Robert's website. Next question, we're on this religious theme, is what you are talking about God-based? Do you follow the principles of Christianity?
I would say the original, unadulterated, non-man-made principles voiced by Jesus, and not those that were added to his words later, absolutely, entirely, most legitimately than most people do or are willing to adopt. That's my foundation, devotionally and scientifically, and verified, and that's the key, verified. Won't have it any other way.
Yeah, it may take a little time, but verify. And what Robert talks about, you will find he backs up on his website with evidence, including pictures and great information there to back that up. The beginning of that question is interesting, is what you are talking about. What are you talking about? Is there a name? It sounds like they were sort of struggling to figure out what concept you are talking about.
I'm sorry, I missed out the concept of...
Are we talking about Unarianism? Are we talking about, I mean, he said what you're talking about almost is a pejorative, like that's just, I have no idea what it is you're selling me.
Okay. I'm sharing what I have learned over time, and the Unarian principles are definitely a foundation, which are the beginning of objectivity and understanding of creation as a science. It is not a belief system. It is not something that poses one belief against another, but more so it helps you understand what you feel, what you have felt, what your desires are, to evaluate yourself and understand creation from a scientific point of view. That was a tremendous help to me. And with the vision of these other worlds, it helped put together everything that I had seen and prove it.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, there are a lot of scientists that are coming to this view now. String theory is perhaps the latest incarnation. We just heard that Stephen Hawking, I think that's his right name, he had once proposed the universal concept of at the beginning of strings, and it was called virtual universe. Virtual universe is a fact that is drawn from the Unarian science itself. A lot of these scientists have read this material, and it has helped them to actually come through and verbalize these new scientific theories from this material. And of course, this is something that I had seen before, years before I knew science. So I couldn't make them up. And what I'm finding from science today and what was taught by Dr. Norman, it's spot on.
I may have misinterpreted the way that question was written. What you're talking about made it sound like he wasn't sure what name to put on it, and we want to put a name on everything and put everything into a box, and this just isn't the case. Yeah, you're not part of a group that has temples across the country and come on television and ask for money.
No.
All you ask for are open minds, and then people can go from there and make their own determination. Next question, why is it that often people who claim to have past lives have been famous people from the past? We don't seem to hear a lot from people who were just common in past lives.
Oh, hallelujah. Yes. You know what I call that, Rick? I call that ego. You have any idea how many Napoleons and how many Jesuses I have met in my lifetime.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
I lost count. But interestingly enough, I have yet to meet Hitler, Vlad the Impaler, and Attila the Hun.
Mm.
I haven't met them yet. I haven't heard of them. Everybody wants to be a good guy. The rush to be famous and invent past lives is one reason so many doubt reincarnation. People need to stop making past lives up. That's not the priority. Instead, study yourselves, as I have mentioned, and be dead sincere with yourselves. That's the science of life. That's what these unitary principles are trying to teach, nothing more. Now, you have famous people saying they believe in reincarnation. Yeah, I'll name a few. How about General Patton, Henry Ford, Napoleon himself, and Benjamin Franklin, Sylvester Stallone, Phil Collins, Steven Seagal. How about Shirley MacLaine? But the interesting thing about them is they claim to be mostly humble, non-famous people from the past. So, folks, it's not about, you know, getting a little medal and putting it on my chest and saying I was so-and-so. That's a minute part of what you are. It doesn't really add up to anything. Knowing yourself, it's what's important. And if there's a past life that can come into your mind to help you better know why you do things, then that will come to you after you understand yourself.
So we're back to that ego rearing its head once again.
Absolutely.
Robert Maxim with us on This Week in America. Questions for the program, we'll be happy to get to them. May take us a little while, but we'll get to them. Go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and do the comment section, or go to Robert's website, rgaetan.com. Is astral projection real? Can I have a willful out-of-body experience?
It is real, but willfully doing so is dangerous. You know, that's like going to stranger lands without a guide. You can be lost for good, or end up in the wrong place at the right time. So
yes.
Never engage in anything that the higher self doesn't guide you to. Being willful about it means that you put the higher self aside and you call the shots. This is not wise. And this goes against Jesus's two commandments. Love yourself as others and love your God with all your might. So if you're really going to love yourself, what you have to do is you have to respect yourself. You have to deny yourself and you have to live for others. Everything that you do must be for the elements of the universe and not for yourself. Not to call yourself names, not to go on this astral trip to go sightseeing, entertainment. Humility is not about that. Humility is about dedicating your life not to entertain yourself, not to be someone great, but to do everything you possibly can to be of service, to help your fellow man. Devoid of any self-interest, devoid of any motive to be saved. Jesus said himself, he who tries to save his life will lose it, and he who loses it will gain it. So sacrifice your life for others, and do not live for the life of self-love and entertainment. Be respectful of yourself. And be respectful of the small voice that talks to you and brought you here to be of service.
Question similar, and you might have just touched on that. Can you induce an out-of-body experience?
Rarely. My option is to have my higher self take care of that because it knows the best time and place for that to happen. My conscious mind doesn't.
And you said that's not good to do that. It can be dangerous.
Yes.
Robert Maxim with us on This Week in America. I keep repeating that. It's M-A-X-X-I-M. So if you're just joining us in the program, we'd love to have your participation by asking a question, and a lot of great information out there that you may agree with, you may challenge. And as you can tell, Robert is up to the challenge of your challenge. So bring it on, as they say, and then we'll let science sort everything out. Astral projection question again. Is astral projection the same as astral travel? Can this be done intentionally or only in dreams? That part we've sort of touched on. Well, are the two the same or are they separate?
They're separate. Anything intentional, not guided by the higher self, should be avoided, though the event happens whether you're awake or asleep. Now, projection is a now type of thing. All travel can cross time barriers. Even though you can travel now, you might be going to a different time spaces in barriers. And of course, either way, you have no control. You have to be led.
Interesting.
And you can also be lied to by forces that will mask themselves as benign. All these things you have to be aware of. Don't go asking for trouble.
Right. If it doesn't come to you, don't go looking for it, I guess is the words you need to remember. Is it possible to remember a past life without hypnosis?
I would never recommend hypnosis. Do things the normal, clean way. No hypnosis. Seeing the past is the norm when you need to. That is when you learn universal law and use it, and do so for humility's sake. Again, do everything for others, nothing for yourself.
Interesting. We've talked about that before. So often, because you have hypnotists that in some cases advertise that. We talked one time, I believe we got to this question, where somebody saw someone on television, a hypnotist who was offering this service, and thinking that's the only way to do it. And again, you're somewhat skeptical of doing that. So you're saying be skeptical of hypnosis.
That's right. When you see your past, you should be wide awake, not put to sleep where somebody can mess with your mind.
Well, and a follow-up question to that, I'm thinking of exploring past life regression through hypnosis, but I'm afraid of the possible results and any long-term negative impact.
Should I be?
And yes. There again, you're saying, here's my mind, have at it, dude.
That's right. No regression or hypnosis. Let the higher self show you when you're ready. It knows when you're ready, so don't force it. You didn't necessarily come here to call the shots, as I said before. I could also say, don't take calculus without first taking basic math.
Yes,
learn universal law. The higher self will show you what you need to see when ready for it, not what or when you want to. This is not a game. This is serious.
Well, it's life. So Unarians United is the other website that has great information. You can listen to past programs by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. In the audio section there, you'll find all of the past programs. I think this is program number 32 that we've done. Video for all the programs you can find as well by going to our YouTube channel video, and you can see all of those. I believe Robert has these. Facebook, he uses them on his website too, rgaten.com. So plenty of ways to catch up on past programs. Would past life regression work to understand my overwhelming fears, is the question.
Again, past knowledge, without knowing how to deal with it, can yield catastrophic results. It's best to deep dive into your fears and know what causes them. What causes those causes? What causes those causes of causes, etc.? By knowing that, you know what the past is. But knowing the past without objectifying first adds to your problems rather than fix them.
So there's a progression that you should go through.
Yes. Know yourself first. The past will come to you when it's time.
And several of these, and we can probably go through these quickly, they're different questions, but sort of touching on the same broad topic that we're talking about. What happens in past life regression using hypnosis? Any potential danger? I can answer the second part of that, yes. But
yes.
they want to know what happens in past life regression using hypnosis. Is there any validity to that whatsoever? Can they go in and tap into your inner self?
When you're daydreaming and somebody plays a song, your daydream will change to what that song is playing, right?
Yes.
Same thing if you're in regression. The regressor can, as the previous listener said, can deposit songs in your mind that would change your state of mind. And as a result, your mind can either make up stuff, or it can tap negative astral forces. You know, as I mentioned before, you cannot be sedated to face your past. You must be alert, and you must learn to test the spirits. And don't forget what Jesus said, that our fight is against principalities. And you know very well what that means. Watch out.
Yes.
Test the
yes.
spirits and be on the alert. Don't go under like that to be manipulated, because you don't know what might happen to you.
When I look at the questions and the tenor of the questions as we're going through these, and here's one more on past life regression. We sort of have them grouped together here. They're open-minded about it, interested in pursuing it, and have questions how to pursue it. The question is, can I really do a past life regression over the phone or Skype, or does it need to be done in person? And I'll add to that, or done at all.
Well, I'll tell you what. I have trusted brothers and sisters. We have entered into a state of mental sharing. It's very difficult to explain, but we're able to sense each other. We're able to feel each other, read our minds remotely. And sometimes I am able to see a past life event of theirs. And I will first ask for permission, bring it to their attention, and always I preclude with the fact, you know, don't trust me, just figure it out for yourself. But we have entered into the state where we have that trust. We've done it over a phone, over Skype, we've done it mentally, we've done it in person, but these are individuals that are into this. They have gone through a lot of objectivity, they have taken those first steps. The same works, you know, they'll say, oh, I just saw something from your past, and we'll begin to work on it. But we're applying the principle to make sure that what we do with that information is positive, and that we use it to cancel out a negative experience from the past. This is the norm out there in other worlds, folks. I don't think that most people on this planet are ready for something like that. There's a lot of study and a lot of soul searching and needs to happen before people just launch themselves into this. And it took me, what, 40 plus years?
Yes, to get to this point, yeah.
To this point, and I tell you, I am not an expert. I'm just a student. And that by chance, I realized something from the past, you know, that's a little tiny plus. But compared to other beings out there in the universe that are bam, 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 they're constantly analyzing themselves, they're constantly seeing and learning. Man, I am a caveman by comparison. I really am. I'm nothing.
Robert Maxim, our guest on the program, rapidly running out of time here, but covered a lot of ground today, and we would like any questions you have, please, we'll address them here in the air by getting a hold of Robert at his website, rgaetan, rgaetan.com, or thisweekinamerica.us. Interesting question, probably the last one we're going to get to. I've got about 5 minutes left here, sort of a time warning I'm giving Robert to know that how rapidly, I don't know where it's going, my stopwatch may be fast, but that's what it shows. Are there ongoing studies by the government, colleges, or other institutions of Unarius principles?
Yes. And as I mentioned before, many have taken place. Matter of fact, principles behind virtual space and strengths came from there. So, yes.
Now, it's interesting. I don't know if they were thinking about life on other planets, that type of thing. But there are ongoing... The government and colleges have open minds as they're exploring this.
Absolutely. and a lot has been found.
It's interesting. And I know if you go to Bob's website, to Robert's website, rgaten.com, you will see information there, scientific information. You'll see pictures. And I were trying to recall your background. You actually did some work with the government for a while, didn't you?
Yes, I did. And some of the pictures that I have on the site came from there.
Well, that's what I thought. I was trying to recall. It's been a while since I've actually looked at those, but it's like these actually came directly from the source. These are not Photoshop. These are pictures that Robert has directly from the source. Another question, do you fear these beings from other universes? Are you concerned when we hear about strange things happening?
Well, you always have to be on the lookout and you have to test the spirit. There are such a thing as lower astrals, and there's also technically not non-spiritually advanced beings, kind of like us here on Earth. You know, we pour everything into technology, and what do we know about spirit? That much. I stay away from those beings. They're not going my way, and I side with the more positive side of the universe.
Information on today's program, you can listen, you can watch it by going to the website thisweekinamerica.us. That's, I'm trying to absorb what you were saying there. It really is a fascinating topic, and if you have more questions on that, please get them to us. Do you fear, and the next question ties right into that, are aliens more advanced than we are?
Some are more, some are less. Some are just taking their first steps as humanoids in faraway worlds. Others no longer need bodies, but are closed by mind energy. There are forms beyond what we can even conceive. The universe is a big place, and it's not limited to just raw technology. There are beings that can actually take God's, shall we say, creative intelligence and create atoms out of them. This trip that I had to Alpha Centauri, they don't mine atoms. They take the raw creative energy itself and they create atoms on the fly, whatever they need. So do they have carbon, oxygen, iron, tungsten? Do they have that? No. They make a whole other set of atoms suited to their needs. And I saw this in action. I saw how they can be put up. Entire walls, entire cities can be created just like that, out of nothing. It's incredible knowledge. But the beautiful thing is, Rick, that they place spiritual development first and technical second. That's where we want to be going.
When we think of aliens, we think of, and I'm generalizing here, but think of coming from one or two sources. Mars, for example, we keep wondering about that. Are there aliens on other planets more than just a couple?
Well, the ones that I have seen, I can name about 10 different worlds that I've had the privilege of visiting. But if you look at the potential of life existing in other solar systems, every star has some sort of a planet, every star. So if there's tens of billions of stars in this galaxy, just do the math. You have super giant Jupiters out there, and the moons can be inhabited. Look at Saturn in our solar system with Titan. If Saturn was closer to the sun and Titan were warmed up a little bit more, it could be another Earth. So it's the Goldilocks zone. But if you go interdimensionally, don't forget, interdimensionally, Titan is a world more beautiful than ours because energy interplays. There definitely distances are different. Time is different. So if you think just this physical plane alone, billions of planets, think again, billions. Upon billions in another dimension, upon billions in another dimension, upon billions in another dimension, these beings can take a single atom. And from that atom, I'm going to blow your mind here. They can take a single atom and from that atom create an entirely new dimension. And they can reside in that dimension. How does that grab you?
Well, it grabs me. There's a lot to think about, and we will encourage people to do that until we are back next time. Robert Maxim, our guest on the program, M-A-X-X-I-M. His website is rgaetan, G-A-E-T-A-N.com. Information at unarianseunited.com. Questions, you can direct them to Robert at his website or our website in comments, thisweekinamerica.us. At our website, you'll be able to listen and watch all of the old programs. Robert, a fascinating program once again today. Covered a lot of ground. I'm sure we'll have more questions that will come in from today's program. A lot of questions we're still going to get to the next time. As always, thank you for being with us. We've done a number of these, and we'll be back again and take people's questions until we're all through them.
My pleasure, and here to humbly serve.
Robert Gaetan, our guest on the program. The program is This Week in America, and you'll find all the information at our website, thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.